All right, we are here. Another chill session of Not Even D2. Got a great, good little convo up ahead for you guys, where we're gonna do a season recap. Season two coming to an end. Season three coming even better. But we'll give some info about that a little later. We'll do a new segment, give you guys some media updates, and then just regular convos. What Ruta and I be talking about is gonna be fun. To start, this is the new segment we'll start doing. It's going to be called 10 Minutes of Media, where we'll go through like maybe three topics, 3.5 minutes each, and just give our opinions, give you guys updates on what's going on in the sports world or just in life in general. But today going to be mostly about sports. We're going to start with some boxing. This is new on the pod. We haven't talked boxing, but and to be honest, bro, I didn't even know that you were a boxing fan. I'm a big boxing fan, so whenever you want to chop it about boxing, I'm definitely down. But we had, like, the fight of the decade almost with Terrence Bud Crawford versus Canelo Alvarez. It was a good fight. You and I both were saying ahead of the fight that we believe Canelo was going to be the one taking the L and Bud was going to dominate. So Terrence Crawford made boxing history on Saturday night, outpointing Canelo Alvarez to become undisputed super middleweight champion, the first three-way undisputed king of the modern era. So automatically he gets put into a different echelon. He's one of the GOATs now, and I'm definitely a Bud fan, and I think that he's going to make some moves in the next few months that are going to surprise some people. But talk to me about the fight, bro.
Nah, definitely a great fight, bro. Yeah, I'm a boxing fan. You know, my cousin, shout out Leanna, she's a boxer herself. You know, she's doing her thing in the women's side. I'm super excited to see what she does in her future. But yeah, definitely a big boxing fan, bro. I like Mayweather, Miguel Cotto, all those different boxers, bro. They were Manny Pacquiao, all boxers that I grew up watching when I was a kid. But let's talk about the fight, bro. I mean, it was an epic fight. Like, I was kind of waiting for it the whole day. You reminded me, you were like, yo, Canelo, I'm watching the Canelo Crawford fight. I was like, facts, that is today. Like, I was excited. And I didn't watch any of the undercards. I only watched the Canelo and Crawford fight. And it went the distance, bro. I thought Crawford was going to get him in like the eighth or ninth round just because of his power and his ability to, you know, he plays defense, but he also can hit hard too. So tire Canelo out. But Canelo fought back. He fought valiantly, and it was a great fight. And Crawford is definitely one of them ones, bro. Like, I was having a debate. Is he better than Mayweather? I personally might. I think there's an argument.
Let's chill on that.
Why you say chill on that?
I mean, one thing that people were saying leading up to the fight is Bud doesn't have like a statement win. And I think there's value to that, even though he had a big fight with Errol Spence. He did Spence bad. But this one, it's like Canelo at this point in his career isn't what Canelo was, even though it's a really big fight. Still, I'm not taking that away from the value of the fight. It's still like Canelo's not in his prime, nowhere near his prime. So Bud is a talented fighter, like really nice. Like I said, I'm big on him, but he's not at Mayweather stature where he's just walking in, walking down every top opponent throughout his career, doing Pacquiao bad. Like, I think there's still a level of, you know, separation between Mayweather and Bud. But you looked at me crazy when I said chill on that. What's going on?
All right, so I don't think you're wrong, but I will counter it by saying this. I feel like when the two fights I can think of, right, when it comes to Mayweather, right? So Canelo, he fought Canelo early in Canelo's career, before Canelo became who he is or who he was in the mid-2010s, feel me? He fought him before that. He fought Pacquiao a couple years too late, I feel like, too. He was ducking him for a little bit.
I want to say ducking, but
I just feel like with Crawford, bro, he's 42-0 right now. Fighters duck him, bro. They don't want to see him. He got the defense, and he's hitting people hard. And I feel like Floyd, in the beginning of the career, he had the defense, and he had, like, he could hit you hard. But towards the end, he was more of a defender. So I just feel like Crawford at this point, he got both those levels, bro. He's a dog.
Nah, I think it's hard to – it's like basketball, too. You can't really compare eras, too. If dudes didn't fight against each other, it's hard to be like, oh, he's better than him or he's worse than him, because they fight in different opponents. Like, if Floyd was fighting Spence, I think Floyd would violate him too, because there's just like, when you're the best of your era, you're going to dominate against your era. So at the end of the day, I think that's just how it is. It's hard to compare who's better in different eras. But last point about the fight, I was kind of upset about what the judges scored the rounds, and seeing how they scored it. They had it, two of the judges that scored it at the end, 115 to 113, had it 5-5 through 10. So I'm like, in my head, I only seen Canelo, and this is max the amount of rounds I thought Canelo won was 3, and they scored it 5-5 through 10, which is crazy. So I thought I had it 117-111, maybe 118-110, but that might be crazy. But I thought it was just a masterclass by Bud. He showed, like, before the fight nobody was saying he's one of the GOATs, and now, like, he's stamped, you comparing him to Floyd and shit. So that's tough. Moving on, we're going to go to Kawhi Leonard situation, the scandal with the Clippers versus the NBA. It's actually kind of cool, because in my sports business class, we have to like upload a sports case. So I've been doing a lot of research about this topic. But basically, the story is Pablo Torre first broke the story on his Pablo Torre Finds Out podcast, revealing that Leonard had a 4-year, $28 million endorsement deal with a now bankrupt environmental company that didn't require him to do anything. And it comes on the heels of Clippers owner making a $50 million investment. It's just crazy to say that. $50 million investment into the company aspiration. And I'm not going to talk too much about like the ins and outs of the case, because I think like a lot has been publicized about it. It's a lot of hearsay right now. But what I will say is the aspiration owner, Andre Cherney, came out and said recently that he also said that in the months of discussion among our executives before signing the sponsorship, he didn't remember about the NBA salary contract. So basically, he denied all claims that this was a no-show contract and that it was had nothing to do with the salary cap. So I don't think the NBA is going to go hard or punish the Clippers, but I just wanted to hear your thoughts, whether like what you think the NBA should do, and also just we can talk about the media aspect of it too, of Pablo Torre, but what you think.
First off, you got to give a big shout out to Pablo Torre doing some real investigative journalism, man. He's bringing that back, so I just want to commend him for that on air. I mean, you know, sports journalism, obviously we're working in this field right now, so you love to see when, you know, journalists are bringing that back in the era of, you know, so many unfiltered media takes where people are just saying anything. He actually like researched this case. But to talk more about the case, bro, I mean, you said the Clippers, you can't see the NBA hurting the Clippers. You know, I heard that the NBA hired a private law firm that they use for the Donald Sterling case. And you know what they did to him. So I'm really interested to see what happens with this case, bro. I mean, all signs are kind of pointing. I know you just brought up that Aspire CEO saying that fact, and obviously Steve Ballmer is going to deny any type of claims. But I just feel like, you know, $28 million under the table there. There was an investment a couple of days, an investment of like $1.8 million, something like that. And then it was some type of underground payment before. I'd have to look at the article, but it was some type of payment before a specific due date that Pablo Torre noted. He was like, look, guys, like all signs are pointing to the fact that the Clippers were paying Kawhi under the table. And if it's true, I just feel like it ruins the integrity of professional sports. You know what I mean? So you're a Thunder fan. Does a Thunder owner have that type of bread to dish out $28 million to Shea under the table? Like, nah, but they still won the championship without it. And it's like, bro, you trying to pay these players extra money under the table so you can win championships and you have no finals appearances to show for it. Like, to me, that's just like so whack and ruins the point of professional sports. But I'm sure you have some more comments on it.
Yeah, I mean, it's fair to assume that Steve Ballmer and the Clippers facilitated this deal between Aspiration and Kawhi Leonard. But what first off, on Pablo's aspect, I think he's automatically into a conversation about one of the best journalists. Like, his past work, obviously, too, but this situation especially. And if you look at his podcast, he's doing it really smart, where he'll give you a little bit one day, and then it'll be like, damn, he dropped that. And then like 2 days later, he'll come out with another episode. Like, he's getting people to stay invested into his pod. So it's definitely going to grow his subscribers, all that. If you haven't listened to Pablo on his podcast, he's had like really good episodes about the situation. If you're looking for more info, especially the Mark Cuban one, because that kind of defends Steve Ballmer and the Clippers. So I definitely recommend that. But why I say the NBA won't really punish the Clippers is because, one, owners and teams are allowed, due to the CBA, they're allowed to introduce parties to each other. So if Steve Ballmer was like, hey, Aspiration, like, I have this talented player, Kawhi Leonard, here's his contact info. From then on, everything is legal. Kawhi and Aspiration can do whatever they feel. And also in the CBA, I don't have it up on my computer right now, but it's like Article 13, something like that, about the deals aspect of it and salary cap. Teams, like, the language in the CBA set doesn't come direct with it. It doesn't say, like, you have to have this information. It's a lot of circumstantial evidence, stuff like that. So the NBA and Adam Silver kind of attested to this, but they're not, like, they have to find smoking gun evidence. But I think the reason that they're not going to come down is do you realize how many owners probably are doing this type of things to keep their top guys happy, or like, take this flying jet with your family, your family has access to this flying jet to get anywhere you are. I understand that's like $28 million is a lot more than like a flying jet for a weekend or something. But I just think if you punish the Clippers right here, you're setting a precedent, and a lot of teams are going to be investigated more. Like, how'd you get this deal done? Okay, let's retrack on that, or let's rewind and look at this deal. How'd you get this done? So I think, and Steve Ballmer is already known as like the top owner. He's a good guy. He's very passionate about the Clippers. So I just could see a lot, and why Adam Silver doesn't want to like punish one of like the top markets, being LA, Steve Ballmer, the reputation I just mentioned. So those are my thoughts regarding that.
Yeah, I think, and maybe it's a different case, you can correct me if not, but I feel like they already set a precedent. Adam Silver didn't, but Dave Stern did in the 1990s with the Minnesota Timberwolves. Kevin McHale was a GM at the time, and he was paying a player. He basically was like, oh yeah, you're going to get paid $1 million a year until like 1995, and then we're going to give you an $80 million contract. And the NBA found out about that and stripped the Wolves of like 5 first round picks, right? So there, maybe it's a different case, maybe different situation, but there's a precedent set. And I feel like I said, it's whack what they did, just because it's, like I said, ruining the point of professional sports, where it's like, you're supposed to have a salary cap. You're supposed to have players, you know, the whole team is supposed to fit around the salary cap. Yes. You know, they're like, yo, fly on my private jet, go to my house in Hawaii for the week. And Pablo Torre was talking about, you know, the Knicks is up next, and I'm a Knicks fan. So I'm interested to see, and I'm going to have to be a hater too. I might have to keep that same energy if they find out that the Knicks are paying Jalen Brunson whatever type of money under the table. But yeah, it's definitely a crazy situation, bro. I read an article too that Kawhi and his agent, or his uncle, whatever the situation
Uncle
is,
Dennis.
Uncle Dennis, they tried doing this. They tried to get the same deal from the Raptors in 2019. And the Raptors were like, wait, so you want us to pay you money for a no-show endorsement? Like, that's not how it works. You know what I mean? Yeah. So it's a real interesting time in the NBA, bro. You know, surprised to even hear this type of stuff is going on sometimes, you know?
Yeah. I mean, the thing is, well, Uncle Dennis deserves a lot of, I don't even know if what the word is to describe him, but he's definitely a character. He's been in the news for a lot of, and the funny thing is, Kawhi's like, you'd never hear anything about Kawhi Leonard. So Uncle Dennis taking the spotlight. He probably feels like the man, low key. I'm not gonna lie. But also, I think that, like, when you talk about, like, the Knicks or even the Thunder moving forward, stuff like that, like, there's gonna be some loopholes that owners try to go through. And if the NBA is just gonna be like, okay, well, because our CBA says we can punish you because of circumstantial evidence, every team's gonna get in trouble because, like we're saying, like, the owners do this stuff all the time. Maybe not to the extent of 28 million, but it's not a rare occurrence for a team to do something illegal. And I just feel like, yeah, it is definitely whacked. I'm not excluding it, but if you don't have all the evidence or anything crazy like a text message or aspiration saying, yeah, this did happen, it's like, why are we going so hard to punish, like, a known legendary franchise? But we'll definitely have to keep talking about that in a different show session, because I have more thoughts, but that's been way over the 3.5 minutes. I want to talk about Tufts University, and this is definitely special. We get some D3 content in the media aspect. So Tufts University announced earlier this week that U.S. undergraduate students whose families make less than $150,000 a year will attend tuition free beginning in the fall of 2026. Students with an annual family income of less than $60,000 will typically receive a financial aid package with no student loans. So that's crazy to think about. And shout out to Tufts. I was thinking about this, like, a lot of these high academic, or probably a lot of institutions, not even just high academic, they have the money. Like, you're asking people to pay north of $50,000 a year to attend a university. It's like, yeah, you have a lot of money. There's no way that everything in your school costs, I don't even want to say a number, but there's no way that you don't have extra to, like, look out for the underprivileged or kids that come from nothing. So shout out to Tufts. I think this is going to set a cycle kind of for these schools to realize, like, we do have money to generate or, you know, help other people out. But I've been talking a lot, so let me hear what you got to say.
No, you're good, bro. Shout out to Tufts. I mean, you know, I sent Coach Lynn, like, a congrats text, like, yo, this is huge, bro. Like, like, it's dope. Like, you know what I mean? And I think the biggest thing, you know, that I think of when I hear this report is just, like, a lot of schools, PWIs, will talk about, like, creating diversity in their school. But, like, Tufts might have figured out, we'll see what happens and how the school dynamics look and demographics look in a couple years. But, like, Tufts might have, like, change the game on how to really create diversities at these schools and, like, bring different cultures, right? Because, you know, this is going to open up a lot of doors, bro, for a lot of different people, bro. And I'm just super excited to see what Tufts, the school, looks like, but also the basketball side of it. Like, if we're talking about the basketball side of it, like, think about how many different athletes that now Coach Lynn, like, already before had available to him. Now, you know, all these underprivileged kids that get really good grades that just can't afford to go to a school like Tufts are now able to go. So shout out Coach Lynn, shout out Tufts University. Big things happening, and they're really changing the game, and, you know, in this environment.
Yeah, yeah. That's a special point, bro. I wasn't even thinking about that. Like, we talk a lot about DEI or I don't even want to say affirmative action, but just those initiatives to get more diversity and inclusion into these universities, but what are they really doing? And then Tufts comes out with something like this. That's special. But you talk about, like, the basketball aspect. And I think this is going to make Tufts, like, really good, or really have an advantage standpoint when you talk about their competition against the NESCAC. Like, now Brenton Linton, already a great coach, bringing in great rosters, but now he's able to get, like, I brought this example to you earlier in conversation, but I was like, I'm not saying I'm, like, worthy to play at this level, but I'm just saying if I were, like, my grades were good enough to get into Tufts, but I could never afford a university like Tufts. And now you're saying, like, a kid that's really good at basketball, really good grades, and now doesn't have to worry about the financial aspect, Coach Lane's going to go crazy now. It's like, I'm picking them to win the NESCAC every year. But I think it's a really good like precedent gonna be set by Tufts to be like, okay, yeah, we have the resources, we have the money, it's time to help other people out. And you're gonna see, like, it's a PWI right now. I wouldn't be surprised if it's not a PWI no more. You're gonna see a lot more minority kids like you and I being able to have the chance. And it's gonna, like, for years on years, people in history have said, like, if we're on equal playing fields, we're gonna like propel. So now you're saying, you're gonna say that, like, I get to leave college loan free and I have a Tufts university degree under my belt. It's like, what am I gonna do with that now? Now I have the opportunity to get into, you know, management positions or high roles in whatever field I'm interested in. So it's a great. I'm a big fan. Like, I might have to reach out to their president just to be like, yo, I really respect you for what you did. But I don't know if you have extra thoughts before we get into this recap. All right. So we're going to do a little season 2 recap. It's been a great season. It's been really fun. We had some great episodes. Like, season 1, we were hype. Like, yo, we're really lit right now. We got this person on the pod, this person on the pod. And then season 2, we dropped with Tobin Anderson. And it was like, okay, the bar has been raised for Ruta and I. We're not just like, only, not that Tobin doesn't have Division III experience, but we're not only Division III at this point. We're able to talk with Division I guys, players and coaches, even administrative roles. But now, like, I'm not going to say who, but we have something special dropping season 3, episode 1. And now that's raised the bar even more, because now it's like, all right, Ruta, now we're in this space. We belong here. The money's starting to come in, sponsorships. People, I'm walking around NYU. People like, yo, you got a pod? I seen it. Da, da, da. I'm like, yeah, but it's really like that now. Like, and we're not surprised about it. We've been grinding for a little minute, and it's definitely been a lot of ups and downs. Like, you might be mad at me one week, I might be mad at you the next week, but like, I want to say the work always showed, but like, people always commended us on how consistent we are. And it's kind of funny, we haven't dropped the episode in like 3 weeks, but how consistent we are and how we manage to episode after episode after episode while we're in school, while we're playing basketball. So I'm talking crazy, I'm popping it right now, but let me hear what bro got to say.
Nah, definitely been crazy year, bro. I mean, so many different things, you know, happened within the last year. Feel like, you know, we accomplished a lot and we also didn't accomplish a lot at the same time. And as weird as that may sound, because like, this is only the beginning. Like, yes, it's season 3 about to start, but like, it's just a steady progression, like year to year basis, like you and I figuring out, you know, what we need to work on, what guests we want to have on, and just setting the bar even higher for content, for questions, for whatever it may be. So I'm definitely proud of you, my boy. I'm proud of myself too. But you know, it's been a great year, bro. We've had so many different cool guests on, from, like you said, Coach Tobin Anderson, Luke Barrett, off the top of my head, Coach Josh Merkel, Coach Brandon Linton, you know, so many. I'm forgetting many, obviously. And there's so many cool guests and cool connections that we made. Then you even mentioned like the TBT and that whole experience, bro. Like, you know, I turned that, you know, we went to Syracuse, you know, for the TBT, and that was awesome, bro. Watching We Are D3 beating Boeheim's Army in a packed gym where it felt like all of D3 was probably watching, bro, during that time and supporting those guys. And we're, again, you know, you always make this joke that we weren't playing, but we still got, you know, a lot of messages. But that was so cool too, to experience that too, bro. So it was definitely a crazy year, man. Season 2, definitely one for the books. But like I said, just keep pushing the envelope, bro. Keep trying to get better. And, you know, we definitely like that, but more to come for sure.
Nah, real rap. And also, we tapped into a different part of women's basketball too, that, like, now we're on that radar. So a lot of stuff is coming our way, and it's well-deserved. You say you're proud of me. I'm proud of you for sure. Like, and what people don't know, because we're not like big social media guys or anything, but both you and I have been through like a lot of ups and downs the past few years, and it never changed our level of focus and consistency within Not Even D2. So, like, we'll go on. You and I both been on vacation. I'm not going to talk about the downs, but we've been on vacations and it's still like content's coming out every day or every week. So it's just cool that, like, regardless of how many views we were getting or how little views we were getting, it's always been the same. What you guys say before we get, we're going to do a draft of all the players we had on. So I'm locked in for that. But what you guys say real quick?
Nah, man, I was just going to say, you know, I said this to advice to you over text, but I think the most special thing that we think that I think I learned this year, early on in season two, but just worry about what we're doing, bro. Because so many times, so many people give us advice on how we should run this podcast. And, you know, we appreciate the advice. We appreciate the support. I'm not saying that we don't want to hear that. But at the end of the day, you and I have a rhythm. You and I have a certain way we do things. And you and I see the vision for the pod. And we saw it from day – you saw it from day one when you started this shit. But you also saw the vision when I hit you up too. And now we're here. We're at where we're at. And we got a bomb of an episode dropping very, very soon, bro. I feel like I'm about to press the red button right now. I can't wait to drop it. It's going to go crazy. It's going to go crazy. Let's get to this draft, though. I'm about to smoke you.
Facts. All right. So I'll explain the draft a little bit. So all the players we had on, we'll do like a starting five, maybe a six man as well. And you guys got to vote who got the better team. I'm pretty sure that I'm going to outdraft Ruta. I'm not really worried about that, but let me hear. You want first pick or you want me to get first pick?
You can get, I'll get first pick because I think we, yeah, I know, yeah, you get first pick. You get
first pick. now the pressure's on me. I wasn't ready for it. I thought you was gonna be like, yeah, I'll take first pick. All right, so my first pick definitely important, and we're doing snake draft too. So my first pick, and I don't think you could ever go wrong with saying this is your first pick, I'm going to get Ty Nichols. I'm not going to say too much about him, but I will just say that there was some conversations earlier in the offseason about is he good enough to play in the NBA. And for people that don't know Ty Nichols, you might be like, yeah, I did not have nobody that nice on. Go watch his film, and that's all I'm going to say.
Nah, he's definitely a cut, bro. He played against Kendrick Nunn the other day, too. He said he played well, too. He had like 18 or something like that. Top. So, yeah, nah, definitely a great pick. For my first pick of the Not Even D2 draft, I'm going with Big Slime, Jalen Haynes at the center position. Got to hold it down. You know, he's at University of Cincinnati right now, Big 12. He's about to kill it this year. So probably going to see him in an NBA uniform in a couple years, whether that be NBA or G League probably. But, yeah, definitely a great player, bro. For my next pick, because it's a snake draft, I got Melvin Council Jr., University of Kansas wing, formerly St. Bonnie's wing, super good player, two-way player. Definitely excited to have him on the roster.
Now, those are great two picks. I'm kind of worried about that Big Slime pick because that's probably the whole – like, we've had a lot of guards or wings that are really tough, but we haven't – had that many bigs, especially like with how basketball is played now too. But my next picks, I'm gonna need some size. I'm gonna get Amari Monroe to be like my three, maybe four. Mac player of the year last year, really athletic, working on his jump shot. That's my guy. He's going to have a really big season. I got hopes for him to get drafted next year for sure. This one's kind of hard right now. I need like a guard that could kind of shoot it. And this is going to be an elite backcourt because now I'm going to take Jordan Jones as my point guard / shooting guard, him and Ty Nichols in the backcourt. Jordan, NEC player of the year. Killing it overseas right now with our guy Meech, but that's my backcourt, and we got Amari to start off our front court rotation.
Word. Okay, so I didn't see the Jordan Jones pick, if I'm being quite honest with you, but I like it though. So you said Amari and Jordan.
Yep, and I got Ty. Right. You got Slime and Melvin.
Yep. So because you took one of my players, I'm gonna have to go with Octavio Brito.
Okay.
I'm going to go with Octavio Brito as my three. Ortiz will play the two probably on my team. And then for the one, I'm going to go with B-more. I'm going to go with B-more. GCU point guard.
That's a great pick. Mid-major player of the year. So you got B-more, Melvin, Brito. And Brito. That's a good lineup so far. And big, I'm in trouble, especially because I don't got a big. All right, so my next pick, and I'm going to go small. I just realized I'm going to go super small. My next two picks, I'm going to go Raheem Anthony. Last year was all Summit League. Really a matchup problem. He's stocky down there, so I might have to put him on slime. And then I'm also going to go Sam Peake, former NESCAC player of the year, and really a basket. I'm excited to see what his overseas career got to do. He's going to put a lot of people like, where's Sam Peake come from? We already knew where Sam Peake came from. But so my starting five, I'm going to go Jordan Jones at the one, Ty Nichols at the two, Sam Peake at the three, Amari Monroe at the four, and Raheem Anthony at the five. We're really small. We might struggle with slime, but you got to round out your lineup.
All right. So for my last pick of my starting lineup, I got St. Mary's power forward, the geyser, walk on a scholarship player, legend for show. My boy Luke Barrett. Shout out Luke Barrett. You know, truly, some would say a system guy. My boy just figures it out, man. He's a hooper, man. He's stocky. He's strong. He could shoot it. He's kind of like our connector piece on the team. He doesn't need to have the ball that much. He could just play defense and shoot it. But I need someone off the bench. And, you know, for my pick off the bench, you could go a lot of different ways here. And who I'm going to pick off the bench, you might not expect it, but I'm going with Syracuse native Fordham guard DeJour Reeves as my backup point guard. I'm really comfortable with him coming in and backing up B-more or Octavio Brito and giving them some burn.
Nah, so. DeJour's gonna have a big year, bro. I'm excited for his last year. I'm in the city now. We've been talking a little bit. I'm definitely gonna be tapped in on bro's games. Happy belated to you too, fam. If you tuned in, you had some drip on. I seen on the gram, so that was tough. All right. So my last pick, my sixth man, and I know you wasn't a part of the pod, but I was gonna say Darius Hopkins, but I'm not gonna say that. But I just want to give him a shout because he bent a basket. But I'm gonna go Eric Demers as my sixth man. my boy got that gun coming off the bench, and it might help relieve some pressure off of some of my guards, like Ty coming off screens. Y'all might need a hedge high or something. Eric lifting, that might be some trouble. But I think in my head, or like we've had conversations, like I thought my team was a little better, but now I'm kind of like, he might have got me on this one. But let's go through the matchups. I'll start with my point guard, Jordan Jones, and you going B-more at the one? Jordan Jones versus B-more, that's a good matchup. I'll say that's even. What you think about that matchup? That's even?
Definitely even.
All right, preview your two. Mine's Ty.
Octavio.
Oddly enough, bro, them dudes been beefing since last year. Yo, and neither of them linked up all. Y'all had all summer to link up, and both of y'all was ducking. Two Keene State legends, though. We haven't even said our opinions about that matchup, and it's been talked about on the pod and in person multiple times. So what do you think?
I'm giving Ty Nichols the edge, man. shout out Octavio, though. He tough for sure. But Ty for sure.
Nah, I think, like, in a one-on-one setting, and Ty might be like, KJ, you're still bugging. But in one-on-one, I think O do got him because O is strong as hell. And, bro, Ty was bugging on the net the other day talking about Octavio. I'm sorry, bro. I love you, but you cannot dribble. I was like, nah, you trying to talk crazy. But I think in one-on-ones, Octavio got it. But in, like, structured 5v5, I think Ty gun – because Ty's not, like a bad defender neither, so – And I don't see Octavio being able to really stop him in a five setting. Our threes, I got Sam Peak, and you got who you got?
Melvin Council.
That's another guy. I feel like Melvin probably got that edge. Because he can guard, and Sam Peak isn't like really an offensive guy, but I do think like Sam could still get his shot off against Melvin because he's got a little bit of inches. But I'll give Melvin a slight edge at that position. It's kind of like a wash, but Melvin probably a little bit.
I would say it's probably closer than people think. That's what I would say.
Like the narrative would be like Melvin all 8-10, and now he's at Kansas. I think Melvin's starting too, by the way. But and Sam Peak is like a D3 guy, but people got to give – bro, Sam was actually like a G League player, scored double digits multiple times in the G League. So all that, like, oh, he played D3, got to go out the window at that point.
Bro, don't even get me started, bro. Don't even get me started.
So for the forward matchup, we got Amari and, Luke Barrett. That might be the matchup I really like. I might call a little Amari action for if we play in fives. Amari, go get the ball and do your thing. But Luke Barrett, like WCC guy, played against some guys, so I can't really overlook that. Luke, like you said, he's a system. He's going to figure it out. You got to stand in the corner, make down or knock down some threes. What you think about that matchup?
I mean, you got to give it to the MAC player of the year, bro. He was getting high major offers in the portal this year. He's probably going to be playing in the NBA, hopefully praying for bro, but most likely, you know. So I'm going to give the edge to Amari. Hopefully Luke can slow him down a little bit, though.
Yeah. And then the last position is kind of OP. he's trolling. Big Sly versus Raheem. And low-key, Slime is going to dominate, like, on the boards. And whenever you guys give it in the post, he's going to dominate it there, too. But I do think that he's going to be on a few islands that he can't really swim on. So that would be my only thing for that matchup. But I will say Slime got that one. And then to round it out with Eric Demers, it's not really a matchup because they're coming off the bench that he could sub for whoever. But I think that Eric brings more to my team than DeJour does for your team, but I think both of them are great talents. But like that's a good ass game. I'll be fucking locked in on that game, doing sure. All the media for that one.
Hey, to be fair to you two, this is a redraft. You know, we did like a kind of draft a little bit. You know, so I changed my team around a little bit. So I got to be fair to you.
No,
you picked a better team last time, but yeah.
No, that's a good draft. But all right, so now we got the rosters. Who's coaching your team? And we had a few assistants too. So if you want to be like you the head coach now, you could do that.
Nah, I'm gonna say who's coaching my team. I'm gonna say, you know, this is a coach that is truly, you know, all the coaches you've had are legends. But this guy, he's been winning for a long time. He's been around a lot of, you know, coaching talents within the game. And he's built a true powerhouse of a program down in the ODAC. And I am picking Coach Josh Merkel to be my head coach of the team. I think he's going to get the guys locked in, get them locked in on defense. He's definitely going to love the group we have on defense. All the athletes we got, he's going to love it.
Facts. Yeah, I do got a good defensive lineup. I could make it a ODAC matchup and we could go hand Caleb Kimbrough. But I don't know if Kimbrough can outmatch my pick. I'm going to go Coach Robert Jones at Norfolk State. Like you said, he's been winning for a long time as well. 3 times HBCU Coach of the Year. And Coach, if you tuned in, we still need the passes to the HBCU Classic in Atlanta. We try and beat her for show. But he's a great coach. I also got a athletic team. We're going to get up and down. I think he's going to love coaching Amari Monroe. He should have gave him an O in the portal this past year. But both of our teams going to be coached well, very disciplined. So it's a matchup that needs to happen, bro.
For sure.
Give me one last thing, whatever you want it to be, and if you don't got something, we could cut it a little bit. But one last thing, whether it's sports, life, whatever, politics.
Nah, rest in peace,
Charlie Kirk.
I don't got nothing to say about that, man. But, you know, I think to, you know, season recap, really appreciate all the support that we've gotten from everyone, the D3 community, D2 community, D1 community, you know, whoever it may be supporting us. We really appreciate it. And, you know, we're just two, you know, we're both still in college, but we're just two college kids just trying to figure it out and make it in this world, man. And, you know, we're just trying to grind, and we just appreciate everybody who's been with us on this journey. So that would be my last words, I'd probably say.
Nah, retweet that one for show. My last thing, and I can't end it on such a high note that you just did, but yo, people got to stop being so like uptight / butthurt on the sub. Yo, I got into it with somebody on the train the other day. Bro was bugging, and then when I started talking back to him, he got quiet. But I'm not going to say too much more about that. But that's going to do it for another episode, Not Even D2. It's been a good convo for show. And we got, like you said, we got a really banger of an episode coming next week. I don't know if motherfuckers ready for that, but
yeah, I promise you they not.
Tune in, subscribe, do what you got to do to support us. Support is free. And I will definitely see you next Thursday.